Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, it's Sprague here. Really appreciate you listening. You're about to get some podcast excellence. It's presented by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
The problem most men have is they don't know how to talk to women.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
You know what my problem is? I am not interesting.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
What am I supposed to say? I went to magic camp? I'm an accomplished ventriloquist?
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Oh, I am a seventh degree imperial yo-yo master. Oh, do me, yo-yo master. I want you to do me because you're the yo-yo guy.
The Fan.
Hey, let's do this. Final hour, Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Thanks for being with us on a Monday. Another beautiful day out there. Sun's a-shining. Hope you're all getting out playing golf later today or right now. Coming up in the final hour, I got another football note I want to get to that I did not get to there in the last 15 minutes or so. And what's on tap, of course, close things out. Let's start here, though. So this kind of, I mean, this is out of our expertise field, if you will. But I think it's a pretty big deal. So I'm going to try and discuss it, and we'll see where we go. But there's a big news out of the soccer world this weekend. And that is some of the, and even whether you like soccer or not, you know the names of all these clubs. They are joining. There's 12 clubs from across Europe that are planning on joining and creating what they're calling a Super League. The Super League. We're going from super teams to super leagues now.
Okay.
The league, if it ends up being established, would offer a permanent spot to some of those clubs, or those clubs, the 12 clubs at least so far, and they would play their matches midweek, which would allow them the opportunity to remain in their domestic kind of league, whether you're in the, you know, one of the British leagues or German, whatever, right? Spain. So they can stay in their side leagues, but these would be midweek matches that would create a whole new thing, kind of a separate governing body. And the issue here is, one, there's no relegation system. It's only the richest of the rich. So the 12 teams that are joining are, I mean, just run through them, right? Arsenal, Chelsea, Liverpool, Manchester City, Man United, Tottenham, Atletico Madrid, Barcelona, Real Madrid, AC Milan, Inter Milan, and Juventus. Those are the teams that are so far joined.
And there's expected, they believe, Bayern Munich, a couple of the top German teams, Bayern Munich.
Could end up joining as
Dortmund,
well.
Borussia Dortmund, as well as probably a couple teams from La Liga, PSG in Spain.
So they want to get up to like 20 teams, yeah. Basically. Like mm-hmm. The 20 best teams in all of Europe to separate from eventually their individual leagues and just join this Super League that they'll play midweek matches. And at least for now, I think from what I've read, they want to stay in their respective leagues currently. But I think the plan would be long term probably to leave those and just have this Super League. And that leaves, I mean, I think people don't realize how many lower level soccer clubs there are in all these countries. And they all have, with the relegation system, you have the ability to move up if you end up building. And there's that kind of stairway that you can climb either way. And it disincentivizes tanking and all that stuff. I mean, it would essentially crumble all these other teams because these are the faces of European soccer that would be leaving. And FIFA and UEFA have come out.
UEFA's pissed.
They're threatening to not allow them to play in their respective leagues in their country, just kicking them out. And then they're also threatening to ban any of the players on these teams, which we're talking the best players in the world because they're the best teams in the world, not allowing them to play in international competition.
So like the Olympics
or the World Cup.
Oh, World Cup.
So you can play in the World. So all these guys, if you play for, you know, Manchester United, sorry, you can't play in the World Cup anymore.
Can they legally do that, though?
Well, yeah. I mean, for a country.
FIFA runs
FIFA
the World
is
Cup.
Yeah. The global governing body of soccer. And then UEFA is the one. It's similar to CONCACAF. They run it for Europe. So, but it's all part of the same governing system.
This, to me, I saw this and I went, whoa.
This is really convoluted.
I was going to say, it's very confusing to understand the significance of this, but of this league being successful or not.
It's basically about money. So the UEFA Champions League, so that is what this is trying to go up against.
Right.
The Champions League takes the top teams from the individual countries' top leagues.
And the Premier League and all the others around
Europe. And then
they
play in an annual tournament that has a group stage and then knockout stages. Very similar to what the Timbers did the last couple of weeks against that team from Marathon from Honduras.
Mm.
There's billions of dollars on the line, but big portions of the revenue that's generated from the Champions League get siphoned off to the individual countries' governing bodies. So each then country has an organization that oversees it.
So it's a money play here, basically.
So this is money. And these top teams, this is the equivalent of...
This would be like college football losing their big boys,
wouldn't it? College football is the closest thing. So the top
revenue sharing?
20, yes. Yeah.
Saying Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, Oklahoma, Oregon, U.S. Like, those,
screw you,
screw the rest of you. We're going to do our own thing.
The conferences and the NCAA were tired of being the ones that generate all the money, yet we don't get our correct proportional share of it.
Right.
So
yeah, Oregon State,
we're
going to
go
yeah.
do our own thing. Yep. But I don't know. They would have to have already lined up some giant benefactors.
So they have. So JP Morgan Chase is going to be behind the financing of it.
Who's their TV partner? Because you got to have a TV partner that does
it. Who's not going to pay for this, though, right?
Yeah, but
stream this on your website. Who's not watching that?
And they're midweek, so they don't coincide with the other year. They don't coincide with the weekend matches.
Facebook wouldn't get involved in this. Amazon.
So the funding behind it, according to the New York Times, they obtained the documents behind it. Each team that signs up is guaranteed a funding just to sign up. Yeah. For the league of up to $425 million. Wow. And the presidents or the chairmans or whatever of Real Madrid, Juventus, Liverpool, and Manchester United are the four people that are putting it together.
Yeah.
Is college football the best suitor for they should maybe go to this model?
They sort of already...
No, they don't. They do conferences. They have these bull crap conferences, and it's the same seven teams every year.
Yeah.
Yeah, SEC revenue gets Alabama gets the same share that
as Arkansas.
Kentucky or Arkansas
or
Vanderbilt gets.
I would actually argue...
And without them, they're not getting that revenue.
I would argue college basketball might go...
They might be better suited for Super League stuff?
Yeah, because if you got the biggest 20 to 30 names in college basketball across the country, and they told the NCAA, we're tired of this. We're the ones that everybody's showing up for regular season wise and all that sort of stuff. So you guys do your own little thing. We're just going to go have our own league and have our own playoff tournament and have a good time.
I think, you know, I've kind of believed this for a while, but we don't really talk about this because it's not realistic, I think, to the current American leagues. Although maybe this will be a game changer in the world. Who knows? But I've always kind of believed the NBA should have relegation.
Like, I think it'd be great.
Their G League and their regular league should be equal of importance. Some cities and fan bases won't care when their team's relegated, so that's why they'll never do it. Money will change it. But I've always believed like there should just be haves and have-nots and take out the have-nots out of the league and then have something like this, a super league. And
I mean, yeah, and I would argue, I mean, outside of the revenue sharing, the NBA already is a super league.
Well, I know, but you know what I mean?
You don't boot teams down if they suck.
We don't need to watch the Minnesota Timberwolves play 90% of the league because they suck. Like, we know they suck, and we know they won't be good, and put them down in a lower level and let them play the Santa Cruz Orange Juices. I don't really care. But this got me more thinking, not so much a soccer. The soccer thing is a big deal. I don't follow international soccer. I'm not going to pretend to know anything. I'll follow this story to see what this does. I was more applying this over the weekend to all of the other sports I do follow and watch.
Sure, and how we would react to it. I want to read a couple of these thoughts come in. Somebody said an underdog team like, is it Leicester?
Leicester. Leicester City.
Leicester. Yeah. Okay. Leicester City. They came out of nowhere. Is no longer possible under this new format, as teams like Manchester City have billions more basically that they can offer. As a Bayern fan and someone who follows the sport very closely, somebody said Bayern won't join. Mm. Also, the domestic leagues will ban those teams and the players.
Is this set up to fail then? Like, it was a venture that's great, but it's going to fail?
Well, they already today, the UEFA, they've been after, they've wanted changes to the UEFA Champions League setup now for a while. They've been in negotiations. This morning, a whole bunch of new rules got voted on and approved for the Champions League to expand the number of teams, to expand the number of games. There was a belief by the top clubs that they've been mismanaging it, that they're not taking advantage of the revenue possibilities and that sort of thing. So they don't know if it's more of a tactic to try and use whatever leverage they have to go do it. But I don't see players. The biggest thing is if they get banned from playing in the World Cup,
right?
I don't see how players go sign and play with those teams.
Because from my reading on this, maybe some soccer fans that listen will disagree. From my reading on it over the weekend, this is almost unanimously frowned upon by European soccer fans. Like, they all look at this like, are you kidding?
They're pissed.
They're pissed. Yeah. Like, even I think most of the fans, even of the big clubs, are kind of pissed about it.
There's a lot of tradition and history.
Well, there
here.
Is. And not having the relegation factor for it, like, I think that's really cool. Like, that you can have a lower level team that could put together a great roster, go on a good run, eventually work your way into the Premier League. Like, that's an amazing story that doesn't happen in any other sport. And as you're pointing out, Sprig, I think it'd be great to have another sport. I think college football would be great with relegation. The NBA would be great.
Like, just separate the haves from the have-nots.
Like, dude, and to disincentivize teams that just suck on purpose for 5 years that try and stockpile draft picks, that give their fans nothing to watch. Baseball would be great with it. Hell, throw a minor league team into the big leagues for a year. Like, how cool would that be? I don't know. To me, I know baseball never happened because they're farm clubs. I get it.
Well,
but
none of these sports are ever going to happen.
No, they're not. But taking that element of soccer away, like, that to me is kind of one of those cool, unique things that soccer has always had over other sports, and you're just eliminating that.
Look, there's maybe the Olympic bureaucratic structure rivals FIFA and UEFA in terms of, you know, bureaucracy and potential for corruption and all of those sorts of things and how much money is going around in it and how it gets doled out. And I think at the end of the day, it's just the big clubs rattling their saber and finally saying, we are prepared to go if stuff doesn't change.
Yeah, and we'll see how serious the threats that follow through on that from FIFA and UEFA.
So I'm putting a poll question up. I'm not expecting a ton of votes between now and the end of the show, but what is there four sports or just three? MLB, NBA, college football. Is there anything else that if they were to create a super league, you'd want to see it in what sport the most?
Oh.
College basketball.
Okay, I'll put college hoops in there too.
Yeah.
Those are the four. Because I think you and I mean, you're... We're both like the sport, but you're baseball, I'm NBA. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I think we kind of agree these leagues would, in my opinion, benefit from relegation. Now, does that mean you relegate 10 of the 30 teams?
No.
You cut it a little more down to that. But again, I don't need to know the Minnesota Timberwolves exist unless they're showing that they can win games, and they largely haven't done that in their organization's history.
Sure. Look at us doing a soccer segment. Huh? I mean, somebody texted in was like, I mean, this is to get you guys to do a full segment on soccer. You know, it's a big deal. I mean, they're blowing up the whole system of soccer potentially in Europe. Like,
this is a major deal in sports because it's, if it succeeds, if they go through and it works and they fight these lawsuits or threats, is there any implication of any level of sport in America going, oh, that
well, just
worked.
Imagine Major League Baseball right now, because that's a revenue sharing sport. Imagine the Yankees, the Red Sox, the Cubs, the Dodgers, the Giants, the whoever else you want to insert into that, saying, you know what, Oakland, Tampa Bay, Kansas City. Who are the other low revenue teams that stand out, right? Just like, screw you guys. We're not doing this anymore. The Rockies, like, dude, we don't know. We don't need you anymore. You don't make any money. Your TV ratings aren't great. You don't pack your stadiums. Like, we're just going to leave you behind. We're going to join a super team with just the big markets.
This reminded me of when Bigfoot did not join Monster Jam.
Exactly. What is he thinking?
Doesn't want to split the revenue. Right. He's the creator of Monster Trucks. And why does he want to go on tour with these other losers?
Your thoughts are welcome. If you followed this story, let us know your thoughts on it. Pretty
put a poll question up.
Okay, we got a poll question up.
Which league would you want to see the Super League in most? College football, college hoops, Major League Baseball, NBA.
At Dirt and Sprague on Twitter. Give us a follow while you're there. We do follow you back. We'll react on the other side. Read some of your thoughts. Also, a football note that's going on soon that, man, it has me dreaming. So I want to get to that coming up next. Back after this on The Fam.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm talking some Super League. Big news from the weekend. Jake tweeting us, is the soccer talk over yet? No, it's not over yet.
we're talking football.
Yeah, it's football. Okay, get it right. Get it right. A couple thoughts came in the fan text line. We got a listener that's all over this, man. He's helping us out a ton. He said, so set up, try to blow up the UEFA. It's not like the XFL and such. This is the rich teams trying to break off, make all the money for themselves, and instead of sharing it, it will admittedly be great games to watch for fans.
Sure.
But you're not wrong on that part. I think that's always that's the idea of it that makes a lot of sense in our heads. Like, man, you're just telling me the good teams play the good teams? Like, that's great. I love that.
But can I push back on it a little bit?
Sure, go ahead.
The inevitability of having that league, as great as it might seem in any sport, you're eventually going to create haves and have-nots within the great league team. Right? Like, do you think every year you're going to have a different champion because they're all equally great? No, you'll have bids for talent that are going to be insanely stupid. And some clubs will go, I don't feel comfortable paying that much. And other clubs will go, I don't care. So maybe it doesn't matter. Maybe it does. But even when you break into a Super League, you're still going to create a slight have to have nots, even within that realm. And I think if college football were to do it, you'd have it there. College hoops were to do it, you'd have it. I mean, any league you name, you're still going to have teams even in that level that might not be as good as them. So then the question will be big. Yeah, you make a little more money, but should you play in the other league to win it versus playing in this super league to not win it?
Right, because you're going to make more money. Mandel sent out a tweet. Stuart Mandel, friend of the show, college football writer. I thought this was pretty good. He said, I get why fans hate it, but from the business perspective, it makes total sense. Their current setup is like college football, where Ohio State generates half the Big Ten's TV value, but only receives 1/14 of the payment. But he said in college sports, Ohio State has other reasons to stay affiliated with Purdue and Illinois and others, academics, geography, the other sports that you play. The European soccer clubs have none of that. They're purely profit drivers. They've been giving away their money out of tradition.
The sport, I would be curious to see how they view it, because it's maybe the second biggest global sport is the NBA. And we've heard of the NBA possibly trying to expand into Europe with a division or a league over there, doing something in this matter.
Relegate the T-Wolves to Europe?
Get rid of the Cavs? Sorry,
you guys. No,
Orlando
will
see LeBron again. Yeah.
Will the NBA try to slap its logo on the top team in Spain and Germany and France and say, okay, this is NBA Germany, this is NBA France, and then take
have
the top teams
no.
and then have a Super League.
Well, I mean, NFL tried that in Europe. It didn't go on. I know NBA is a more popular worldwide sport than American football, but yeah, I kind of think they already do, right? Like, tell me the last time the best player at one of those leagues or teams didn't end up in the NBA.
But if it's NBA Spain, if it's NBA Germany.
You have to get the financial part of it set. Like, you would have to be able to pay them max contracts and allow them the TV time to play in the NBA finals.
I just think you've already, I just don't know how worth it is for the league to do that and pay more money for that versus they already make a ton of money and they're the second biggest global sport in existence.
Yeah.
So over in Europe, in any other country, it's like the goal is what? It's to get to the NBA, not to play for Madrid. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Somebody texted Sabas. What could have been? Yeah, he eventually came over. He didn't come over till later in his career. That's a big what if. But most of those guys end up playing in the NBA at some point. Now, in the modern era, it's a lot earlier than it used to be. You used to get guys that would hang overseas for a number of years. Now you get guys that come over a little bit earlier. But, I mean, we'll keep an eye on it. I thought this was a pretty fascinating story out of the world of sports. I think it's a little concerning to me. I feel like we're going this direction in a lot of businesses where, like, you're just getting monopolies kind of created that, like, two companies run an entire, like, sector of the economy. Like, look at cable companies, for example, or like there's a lot, you know, phone providers.
I don't think we're I think we're already
right
there.
We're already there. Yeah. And so I fear for it a little bit with sports of going that way of let's create a super team, you know, super league, and let's just get the powerful teams to play and you know, kind of screw everybody else. We're going to keep all the money for ourselves. I financially get why they want to do it. I do, but a little concerning. We'll keep an eye on it, see where it goes. I did want to get to this one other quick one before I move on. There is something starting in college football that it gets me to dream every single year when it happens. Now, this year, it's a little different because it's happening in the spring.
Oh, my God. So the morning listeners are in for a treat. This is going to, turned into the yearly tradition.
Yes.
To bring this up for yourself.
Yeah. Because we can't do this in college football, right? We can't. It's too many games. We can't do it. Oh, no. It wouldn't work out. You know what's starting, I believe, this coming week?
Yeah, because we got declined for an interview because of this thing.
We did, yeah. The 2021 FCS playoffs are beginning.
Yeah,
they're
baby.
Having a playoff in college football. You know how many teams are in it? 16. You know what there is? There's a bracket. You fill it out. You pick your champion, just like in college basketball.
If
I gave you a 16-team bracket of Division I teams, you'd fill that thing out so quick. There would be more football brackets filled out than there would college basketball brackets filled out because we like college football. We don't like college basketball.
Oh, that's a hot take.
Oh, if you gave me
more brackets in college football?
If I gave you a 16-team college football tournament, without a doubt, we love college football way more than we love college basketball.
Yeah, but the 64 bracket team bracket is the only reason we watch college basketball.
Exactly. Now I'm telling you, we already watch college football and I'm giving you a bracket on top of it. We would love it. But I just saw that this weekend and I dared to dream. Imagine how cool this would be. They usually do a 24 team bracket this year. I think it's only 16.
This is not going to happen. I hate to burst your bubble.
Happen.
And
it's
every year
happen.
I have to do this. I have to be the bad guy in this relationship.
It's going to happen. We're going to get there.
It's not going to happen. And this isn't a shot. I truly mean it.
Delaware versus
a shot.
Monmouth in the first round. Weber State, Sacred Heart, can't wait. That's the 4 seed versus an at-large
North
bid.
North Dakota State at Eastern Lillard. Washington.
North Dakota State, Eastern Washington. North Dakota State, first time they're an at-large in a long time. They're playing on that side of the bracket. The winner gets Weber State, Sacred Heart.
This will never get to that level of college football, I'm convinced. And if it does, again, not a shot. We will be closer to Swag's age if it happens.
People want to make money, don't they? Go make money. Put a bracket
together.
Well,
that's always the one thing I've long never understood from talking to national pundits or local people who cover teams is we know why they're maybe not in on it, but I don't know how that doesn't make sense to expand what is already a great product and say, we're going to make this thing we have that you love, we're going to make it even bigger and even more interesting. Even if you don't get... You're never going to have a 16 beat a one. You'll never convince me that Alabama is going to lose to
Hey, we thought a 16 would never beat a 1 in college basketball.
Okay, it happens one time.
I'm just saying, we never thought it would, but it did one time.
Realistically, the math would say it's never going to happen. Sure. But to fill out, to your point, a bracket with it, yeah.
It'd be incredible.
How do you not get more money from that? Right. I don't know. So it's never been made clear what stops it. They're so damn archaic.
Eliminate bowl games. Just have a wide bracket that happens between December and January. It would be amazing for the sport. And I saw the bracket unveiled this weekend. I just thought, God, this would be so cool. Imagine getting this the first weekend of December and seeing where your team is and where they're playing, who your matchup is, if you have a chance to make it. It would be so awesome.
So, like, how many bowl teams do you usually get on an average year?
I mean, there's what?
70.
35 bowl games, give or take, yeah.
Could you take 16, the top 16, and there's your champions bracket? You break it off into the neck, you know what I mean? Do tiers by this thing. Sure. So
well,
people
I would
like
argue
me,
anybody outside of that. I mean, if you go 7-5, you shouldn't go to a bowl game. You shouldn't be rewarded.
Well, that's what
that.
I'm saying is if a team like Oregon State goes 7-5, that's a good year
for good
Oregon
year.
State.
Sure.
I would argue if you're going to do that, then at the FBS or
right
1A division, you could have another 16 teams in a, quote, NIT-like tournament.
That's what I'm saying is you have your champions bracket, your tier 2 bracket, your tier 3 bracket, so you cover the range of bowl teams you get.
Your CBI bracket,
yes.
Tier 3.
Let's go.
You brag about winning the CBI. Hey, it's more football. I'm not going to complain
Hang
about that.
Hang the banner, baby. Did you win the tournament? Yay or nay?
I saw that this weekend. Dare to dream, folks. Dare to dream. I'm going to keep beating that drum. It's going to happen at some point because wiser heads will prevail. Okay, coming up next, what team do you enjoy most watching suck in sports? Because there's one that's sucking right now, and I'm enjoying the hell out of it. I want to get to that. One of the cooler stories of the weekend that flew totally under the radar that I want to talk about, and then, of course, what's on tap coming up to close it up.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey, I'll tell you something good. Do you fine gentlemen know the Major League Baseball team that has the second worst record in the entire league?
I have enjoyed this, yes, because I'm a big believer that there's really not as many teams in different leagues that they quote unquote need to be good. Like, I think the NFL thrives with or without the Cowboys. and yet we're made to believe they're everything for the league.
Right.
The NBA, we've long been sold that the New York Knicks need to be good. I would argue that's not important. They're having a nice little fun story this sure. year with Tibbs, but I don't care if they're irrelevant. I don't think the NBA gets hurt by that. And there is a part of me that doesn't think that the New York Yankees have to be good for Major League Baseball to be cared about. So I'm just not a believer in giving these crowns to certain teams and saying the league needs them. No, I largely think these sports leagues don't need them to be dominant every year.
I about ripped my hair out of my head this morning before we took the air where they were doing a thing on the, was it Keyshawn, Jay, and whatever the show
Zubin,
is.
Zubin, yeah. Jay, and Key.
And they
or
were
Key, Jay, and Zoo.
They asked Keyshawn Johnson if the Dodgers and Padres rivalry is going to be as good this year as the Red Sox and the Yankees, and he said no, and I just wanted to vomit.
Who said that?
Keyshawn Johnson said that.
Oh.
Yeah, because
he's in LA. Why would he say that?
I know.
Is he in LA?
Entertaining if you actually watch and pay attention to what's going on in the sport. Anywho, the team that has the second worst record in all of baseball is the New York Yankees. They're 5-10 so far this season. And I got to tell you, man, I am enjoying the tweets and the complaints and the outrage stuff. Did you see the back page of the New York Daily News the other day?
I can't fathom it was a happy
God,
one.
Oh, God, it is so good, man. The only team with the worst record in them so far in baseball is the Colorado Rockies. That's it. That's all you got. They're 4-12. Now, there's a couple other teams with 5 wins. The Nats have 5 wins, but they're only 5-8, remember, because their opening series got canceled. So they're tied in the win column, at least. But the Yankees, 15 games into the season, have the worst record. I want to try and – I saw a couple of stats. Like, this is the worst – The latest into the season that they've had the worst record in a super long time. And it got me thinking of all the teams that you enjoy watching lose, they got to be up there, right? Like Duke getting bounced early in the tournament, the Yankees sucking.
I think it's the Yankees, Duke, Cowboys, and Lakers.
Okay, that's a pretty good power
can you
four
beat
right
that?
There. I don't know if I can beat that power four.
I think that's the four.
Bama.
Yeah. I've gotten so beat down by Bama that I can't remember what it's like to watch them lose.
Juan, I've said this before. I know this is going to upset some, but I don't mind when Bama's good. They're sending the most NFL talent. It's the closest to an NFL team in college we're ever going to have. I can just look at it and say, hey, you recruited 95 five-star players. Congratulations to that.
It's basically cheating.
And it's nice to watch all of these dudes ball out. I'm okay with Bama does not bother me to the level of those other teams. I cannot stress how much I hate Duke, the Yankees. The Yankees are one of two teams to make me cry as a kid.
Yeah.
Them and the Lakers.
Yeah, they made a lot of people
cry. That's the list.
They're 5-10. This is their first, their worst 15-game start since 1997. They started that year 5-10. Also, ready for this fun fact for you? You want to show how good the Yankees have been historically and how bad the Knicks have been for a long time?
Didn't they win it in 97? No, the Marlins did.
I think that was the Marlins here. Yeah, Marlins, Indians. Then they won their 3 in a row, I think, starting the next
year. They almost won 5 because it was the Braves right, in 96, right. Which I cried over.
Yes.
97 kind of sucked back into winning for 3 straight.
This is the first time ever that the Knicks are on a 5-game winning streak the same time the Yankees are on a 5-game losing streak.
Okay.
That's never happened in the history of New York sports. So I saw that, and I quite enjoyed it. So the Yankees suck. Soak it up, everybody. Enjoy it. It probably won't last too long. I threw this out there of like the teams you enjoyed. Somebody said the Patriots. That's pretty good.
That's a good one.
After watching the Patriots dominate for 20 years, I'm kind of with you on that.
Yeah.
Somebody said any Tom Brady team. Yeah, I'm with you there. I'd love to see them lose.
Well, you get local college football fan will then say Ducks,
right.
Huskies.
Oh, for sure. I think this happens regionally as well. Like, you always love to see some team struggle. So that's happened in baseball. I wanted to get to that. Now, I'm going to just carve out a minute or two for this because I thought it was one of the cooler stories the entire weekend. And I don't know if you have any more details on this because it did include your team. There was a player that was called up to play in the big leagues this weekend.
Sean Kazmur Jr.
He got called up by Atlanta. If you don't know this story, here's basically the background of it. He's 36 years old. He's a middle infielder. The last time he played in the major leagues was 2008.
Huge gap, yeah.
2000. You're going 13 years ago since he's been in the big leagues, right? He played a couple of games for the Padres, a team that lost 100 games that year. Appeared in a small smattering of games. That was it. Boom. Out of the big leagues, back to the minors. For the last 12 seasons, he has played AAA baseball every year for 12 straight years. And a lot of people in that position would have just, I mean, eventually you walk away, right? By the time you get to 30 and you still haven't gotten back in, or you're 34, like eventually you're going to walk. He didn't. He wanted his kids to see him play in the big leagues. He had this dream that someday he's going to get back. He did. They called him up this weekend, and Jeff Passan wrote, he is a real-life Crash Davis. And if I'm not sure if he got in a game, so I'll have to lean on you
he
for
did.
That.
He played Saturday and he ended up a play.
Oh, damn it. Damn it, Sean.
He got a chance, though.
According to ESPN Stats and Info and Elias, they tried to look up. They could not find a player that went longer than 12 years between major league appearances. So 2008 all the way to 2001. I thought that was an awesome story of perseverance. He got back in. 36-year-old getting back into the big leagues.
Not a shot at passing. Slightly better story was written by Dave O'Brien on The Athletic, who has covered the Braves for
long time,
a couple decades. Yeah. And he gave an even more in-depth backstory of Snitker managed him in AAA because Snitker was down there
before
they fired Freddy Gonzalez.
Right.
So they hired Snick, has a great relationship with him, is close with his family. Cool story about Saturday. He got put into the rotation because he had a couple injuries. They obviously lost Pache. They lost Albies, got hit in the calf.
Yeah.
So he got some playing time, and he got an at-bat Saturday, and he hit in a double play. But his grandparents were in attendance at Wrigley.
That's really cool.
And, yeah, it didn't end with the beautiful movie-like ending of a game-winning hit on the road. But still cool to see a guy grind. His wife basically changed her entire career. She switched from one profession to working online so she could stay at home and be with the kids, allowing him to chase the dream. And he's shouted that out many a time, how great
that's really cool.
That's been there for his wife to allow him to continue to try to live that dream. So it was cool to see him live it up, and Bravos took the series. So all in all, it's not a bad weekend.
Yeah, I saw that from passing on Friday. I'll have to go check out the O'Brien piece. But that was just a cool story of perseverance. A guy that he spent 12 years in AAA baseball. 12 years. Imagine getting called up in 2008 thinking like, all right, I'm finally here. This is it. And you get a cup of coffee in the league, and then you're back down, and then you never get called up. You got to wait 12 years. Finally did this weekend. Really cool story out of Atlanta. So I wanted to bring that up and shout out Sean Kazmer Jr. All right, what's on tap coming up next? We'll let you know for the rest of the day. Also, got a lot of poll questions, including, has Terry Stotts lost the Blazers? As they laid a turd yesterday in Charlotte. Now they got big ones against the L.A. Clippers and the Denver Nuggets coming up this week. We'll wrap it up. What's on tap next on The Fan.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Nerd and Sprague know what's brewing.
I'm not paid to be bold. I'm paid to be right.
There's a lot of sporting events that you say, oh, I got to go do that.
This is What's on Tap, poured by Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach on 1080. The Fan.
That's right. What's on Tap, brought to you on The Fan by Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach, online at pelicanbrewing.com. Snag a couple of Pelicans, enjoy them out on the patio tonight. It's going to be another beautiful day here in Portland.
I have a bone to pick with the sports audience.
Okay.
If you're out there and this is you, why did you purchase the Jake Paul fight? Why would you spend $50 to watch a rigged boxing match against a washed up UFC bum?
It's a good question.
If that kid can fight, then great. Go fight somebody real. He's knocked out a bum UFC guy and Nate Robinson. And you know how much it made? $65 million. They had 1.5 million human beings.
That's nuts.
Voluntarily say, I'm going to pay $50 to watch this.
I'm so glad stuff like that is off my radar completely. I didn't even know that was happening. I saw a couple of tweets on Saturday night. I'm like, I don't even know. He knocked somebody out. I didn't even know who the other guy was.
Well,
it's not on my radar in any way, shape, or form, and I'm really proud about that.
I had somebody Saturday. You guys watching the Paul fight?
Like, no.
No, I have no interest. I'll see the highlights, and guess what? It was done in the first round, and I saw the knockout. Yeah. I didn't have to pay $50 to see what you saw.
Yeah. All right, I'm with you on that one. Okay, quick note. Alex Smith just announced his retirement from the NFL.
Good for him. What a career.
great career, overcoming the slow start in San Francisco, really turning around with Harbaugh, had a great run in Kansas City. Of course, a devastating injury to battle back from that, and then to lead a team to the playoffs last year, granted in a terrible division, but still, it was a really cool story and a great way to cap. Can I just say this, too? I am really glad that he's retiring.
Well, I mean, I know where you're going with that.
It felt uncomfortable watching him last year because, and I'm stoked for him that he did it. It worked, and he gave a great example to his kids. Like, that is an incredible story. I was queasy every time I watched him, just worrying he was going to get sacked and his leg was going to snap in half.
Sure, but I think it was cool for him and his family to do the comeback. He almost lost the leg, and to be able to go out there and still play at that level. It wasn't like he was the most amazing quarterback, but he did kind of help turn them around a little bit to a formidable, respectable, divisional team that made the playoffs. I would have liked to have seen him be able to play the postseason game and not go to Taylor Heinicke.
Yeah.
But a hell of a career. And I know he's going to be labeled I don't know if bust is the right word for him because he's the number one pick.
I don't think so. I think he ended up having a good enough career the first 5 years were terrible. Nobody would deny that.
Oh, but I think when you're the number one pick, sure, I think there's an expectation of winning a championship.
I mean, he's not Jamarcus Russell.
No.
I don't know. Bust to me is too unfair. But did he live up to expectations? No, I guess.
Sure.
But to me, I mean, you end up having a good, I mean, he's been in the NFL for like 15 years.
He was the 2007 draft, I think he was, right?
Is that what it was? Something like, I knew it was somewhere in there.
05.
Sounds right.
I think it was 05.
That's a 15, 16 year NFL
career.
That's a great career. Dude, I take that. He got to an NFC title game. Great career for Alex Smith. He announced his retirement today.
He was a slightly better Fitzpatrick.
Yes.
He was a great stopgap quarterback that you could win with.
For sure.
But you could only win so much with.
The question, how far can you actually go? Yeah. And I think you still go back. If Kyle Williams can catch punts, would have been an interesting Super Bowl.
That would have been Patriots Niners, right?
Would have been Patriots Niners. Yeah, the Giants went on to win that Super Bowl, but the 49ers, they could have won that game and that NFC title, if you remember back years and years and years ago. But Kyle Williams, unfortunately, dropped a couple of punts. Let's roll through the poll questions and we'll get to what's on tap for the rest of the day. Has Terry Stotts lost the team? 81% of people say yes.
I just think it's obvious. It's, you see him play and you see him not respond or adjust, and you hear Terry's post-game answers. It sounds like a guy has no clue what to say or do anymore. And we see this all the time in sports in all the leagues. It's, the message is stale. It's not sounding the alarms in their eternal clocks. And even the Dame thing. It's like, when's the last time Dame was vocally supportive? And it's not a shot at Dame, but it's probably frustrating. They can't win these important games.
Yeah, they got two more chances at it coming up tomorrow and Wednesday. Is Nurkic a top 10 center in the NBA? 76% of you say no. we all answered no, I believe, as well.
But every time you talk about Blazers' potential success, everybody's like, once Nurk is this and that.
It's tied to him.
It's like, okay.
Can you be a great quarterback if you don't play with a huge chip on your shoulder? 84% say LOL, yes. Big news over the weekend, soccer league starting up a super league. Which sport in America would you want to see start a super league, separating the haves and the have-nots? 65% say college football.
Okay.
I totally get that. And then which of these four teams do you enjoy seeing lose the most? And 53% of people said the Lakers so far. That one's early poll.
Well, Lakers will probably win it, too. It's a regional league-based thing.
And Deal said, the Cowboys already lose enough that I can't really, it's not like they're winning all the time.
Does any other team get shoved down our throats that they're America's team and haven't been relevant for 20 plus years than them?
No, they
Deal's
do not.
Right, but like, good
the
God.
The Knicks are the only other one, but they don't get shoved down your throat as much as the Cowboys.
The Cowboys are the primetime game every other Sunday with Joe Buck and Troy Aikman, and they'll be 4-10.
By the way, Joe Buck doing a guest Jeopardy hosting
He's doing
stint.
Jeopardy. Yeah, Joe Buck's doing Jeopardy this
and
week.
People think he's a dark horse favorite because they just added him to host.
I could see that. I think Joe Buck would be pretty good at Jeopardy. He's got a good sense of humor.
I wanted to go a different direction.
I'm not a Jeopardy guy, so I'm not going to care that it matters to me.
Ken Tremendous, who is, I think his name is Mike Schur. He's a writer on NBC for a couple comedies, The Office, The Good Place. He did an interesting tweet. He said, who's someone that could give the Jeopardy hosting gig that would make you watch every episode every day and not want to miss one? And he put an actor's face, and I got to be honest, I don't remember the actor's name,
sure,
but I recognize him.
You recognize the guy, yeah.
Is there anybody that could do that for you?
Nothing I think when named we him? Discussed this before, my first name was John Stewart.
See, and I would love John Stewart. That wouldn't get me to watch every day.
Really?
I do. I love John Stewart, but
he's done almost nothing in the mainstream media for quite
some
time now.
He's back fighting for first responders, aren't getting health insurance. Like,
behind the scenes, he's doing a lot of great things, but I'm talking about at the forefront of media.
Yeah, I mean, Larry David would be great for me personally, but
you'd have to be uncensored for Larry David.
Yeah, that'd be pretty funny. If he could... Sports fans probably go with a guy like Barkley or something saying stupid stuff.
I have no interest in Barkley doing that gig.
Bill Walton, maybe?
Nope. That show wouldn't happen. I mean, they couldn't do the episode.
For 200, please.
He'd wax poetic after the first question for an hour.
That's a good question. Warriors 76ers, what's on tap today? Steph Curry, I don't know if you've seen. He's pretty good at basketball.
Boy, he's been on fire.
He's having a hell of a run. He's going for his 10th straight 30-point game, which would tie the longest streak of a player 33 years of age or older that Kobe set in 2012. He's at 9. So, I think he did. He get it? I think that was the other night. I can't remember if he did or not. If he's at 9 or 10, that sums it up, doesn't it? Did he get 10? I don't know.
We're not sure of.
I think he did. Did he go for 30 in his last game? I think he did. What the hell? We'll run with it. He went for 30 in his last game, so he'll go for 11. Yeah, he did go for 10 straight. Look at that. Boom. I was right. All right, that's it for us. We're against it. Thanks for being a part of our Monday. Colin coming up next. AJ and Dusty. Isaac and Suk, of course, as always. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 6 a.m. You're listening to 1080 The Family.